This gospel message is brought to you by the Reformed Witness Hour, a ministry of the Protestant Reformed Churches in America. A Reformed denomination that strives to be faithful to the Word of God and the historic confessions of the Reformed faith, also known as Calvinism. In love for our great God, we proclaim the Christian faith and life that is founded on God's sovereign particular grace. As God's Word is expounded, we pray that these messages are a blessing to you.
Radio friends, today we come to the fourth of the Beatitudes, the words of blessing that Jesus pronounces upon the citizens of the Kingdom of Heaven. They are found in the words of Matthew chapter 5, and we come today to verse 5, where we read, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." We remember that in these Beatitudes, or words of blessing, Jesus is giving the marks of his children from a spiritual point of view. He is describing the citizens of the Kingdom of Heaven, of how they appear from the inward point of view of the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says that all who are brought into his kingdom by the wonderful love and grace of God are made inwardly to be poor in spirit. They mourn, they are meek, and now today he tells us that they hunger and thirst after righteousness. Do you find yourself being described? Note with me that these Beatitudes, or these spiritual characteristics, follow one another in a logical sense. That is, they build upon each other. Each one follows from the one that is before. Fundamentally, we saw that a child of God entering the kingdom of heaven has been made to be poor in spirit. That is, I am nothing, I can do nothing, I deserve nothing. God is everything. Then, we saw that they mourn over themselves and over their sins, and therefore, as a result of being poor in spirit, they are meek. They are stripped of all self-boasting, pride, and vanity. They are humble, teachable before God. Now, as we come to the fourth beatitude, we look out of ourselves for salvation, for deliverance for which we long. In the fourth petition, the eye of our soul is turned away from ourself, from within, to another. We hunger and thirst after righteousness. The mark of a child of God will be that there is now created a craving, a longing, a starving after something which God alone can give to us. There shall be a hunger and thirst for something that we do not have, cannot attain, and do not deserve, something that we desperately need, righteousness from God. Let's pay careful attention to our Lord's words. Blessed, or happy, are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The supreme object, then, for which we must desire is righteousness. They who hunger and thirst after righteousness, says Jesus, are truly happy people. Everyone, of course, wants to be happy. This is the great object of mankind, and Christians want to be blessed. Everything in this present life is designed after the pursuit of happiness. People ask the question, what will make me happy? What will make me blessed? How do I get rid of these troubles, these feelings, these problems? I need happiness. But here the Lord is teaching us that we must not long after happiness, but we must long for something which will bring blessedness. We are not to say, Lord, I want happiness, for then we will miss it. We must not make happiness the object in itself, but we must understand that happiness and blessedness is a byproduct from receiving something God alone can give. Our supreme need is righteousness. We must not put our feelings and our happiness before righteousness. or you are doomed to misery. You must not put happiness in the place of righteousness, or you will never get it. Let me illustrate. Think of a man who is suffering a painful disease, and he wants to be relieved of his pain. That's understandable. He wants anything to take it away. He comes to the doctor, and that's a very bad doctor if the doctor treats only the pain and doesn't look for the cause or for the treatment for or the reason for the pain. Now the world says, get rid of my pain. And so the world gives you pleasure, psychology, drink, and all the rest. And yet the pain remains. Why? Because the cause has not been dealt with. The cause of sin, but the need of righteousness. If we are ever to be happy, we must be made righteous. And if we are not made righteous before God, we can't be happy. We'll never be happy. What is righteousness? Jesus does not speak of it in the mere human sense. His idea here is deeper than just mere decency. In the news, we hear of righteousness, of politicians who are very eloquent in condemning prejudice and things that society would condemn and that we must learn to be righteous. But Christ is not talking about righteousness in that sense. He's not referring to anything that is shallow. He is not referring to a general improvement of morality among men. He is not saying what man needs is that they simply learn to be a better person, to be a little more righteous, to make themselves a little better. No, the Lord is speaking here of something profound. He is talking of the fact that He is the Savior. He is referring to the desperate need that the child of God has to be made righteous before God. Righteousness here is to be understood in the full use that the Scriptures give to it. It means to be made right with God. It begins with the truth of justification, the forgiveness of our sins. This is what the Apostle Paul so wonderfully explains in Romans chapters 3 and 4, where he speaks to us of a righteousness from God, a righteousness that God has earned for His children, for His elect, in Christ. That this righteousness now is in Christ and is imputed, he says, that is, reckoned legally onto the account of everyone that He has given to Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is saying that we have a supreme need. That supreme need is that our legal state, our standing before God, be changed from that of guilt as a sinner to one of innocence. I need someone to lift the burden of guilt from off my shoulders and to open the skies of heaven before me. I need to be made righteous. But righteousness is more than that. It is, first of all, the free gift of God of declaring us righteous. But it is also, as the Holy Spirit continues to work, something worked within us. It is when God makes us holy, which follows justification. When God justifies us, He removes by grace the guilt and the burden of our sin only for the sake of the merits and work of Jesus Christ. But then upon the basis of that righteousness, of that act of God of justifying us, of making us free of our guilt, on that basis, God comes, and by the Holy Spirit, He works within us. He begins to work within us to make us holy. He gives to us a sorrow for sin. He frees us from the bondage of willingly serving sin. He gives to us repentance. He gives to us a desire to be like Christ. Righteousness is the desire to be free from sin. Righteousness is, first of all, the need that Christ alone can take away my guilt, and it is the desire that I be free from my sins, and that I be made repentant. The supreme desire is that we be right with God. All of our troubles and all of our problems are due to this, that we have turned away from God, and our sin separates from God, and we have turned every one to our own way. Righteousness is the great good of being brought back to God in my life, in my thinking, my willing, my desiring. That's my need. It means we want to be free from the power of sin. God gives us to know that the world of sin is living according to the power of the devil, the spirit, says the apostle, that now worketh in the children of disobedience. To hunger and thirst after righteousness is to know that we would desire to be made like unto Christ. That we want to do that which is pleasing to God. We want the emancipation from our own sinful way. And we want, rather, to glorify God in our lives. The great desire that we have, created within us as children of God, is, one, Father, by grace alone remove from me the guilt of my sin. No work that I do ever can remove that guilt. Make me, account me, legally righteous. But Father, on the basis of that work of Jesus Christ, go on and make me righteous within. Work within me by the Holy Spirit, so that I know my sin and my pride. Take away the pollution of my sin as well from my heart. Make me clean within. We hunger and thirst after righteousness, after an imputed righteousness given freely of grace, and after a righteousness infused within our hearts, the work of the Holy Spirit, to deliver us from the willing service of sin. That's a vehement desire. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What does it mean to hunger and thirst after righteousness? It means, first of all, that we feel, that we know, that we cannot attain to this righteousness in any sense by ourselves. Hunger and thirst are the opposite of being satisfied and full. It's the awareness of being empty, of a lack. Salvation is entirely by grace. To hunger and thirst is the opposite of the pride of the Pharisee. The Pharisee says, I'm full. I can do it. I'm better. I'm superior. I can lick it. But the first beatitude was, blessed are the poor in spirit. That's the removal of our self-sufficiency. And now we have the knowledge that we lack righteousness, and we can't supply that righteousness, and we can't manufacture it. That's the first indication of hunger and thirst, the painful awareness of our lack. You and I are not hungering and thirsting after righteousness if we are holding in any sense to self-satisfaction in anything that we have done as being the basis of our salvation. If we still put ourselves and our work and what we have done as the basis, as the ground of our salvation, we shall not be blessed. If we think that we are superior because of who we are, if we hold on to self-righteousness, then we deceive ourselves. Hunger and thirst means I realize I have nothing, I cannot attain. It means that God creates in us a vehement desire for a righteousness from God. Hunger and thirst, after all, are pains. God produces pain, deep pain of the conscience, of our need, to the point of pain. I'm starving. A pain that keeps on until it's satisfied, not a passing feeling, not a passing desire, but a deep pain. Hosea, the prophet Hosea, says to Israel that she was always coming forward to God in repentance when there was distress, but when distress lifted, they went back to their sin. In Hosea 6, verse 4, we read, O Ephraim, what shall I do to thee, O Judah? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. Here one moment, and gone the next, says the prophet. Hunger and thirst are not passing feelings, but they go on until satisfied. Let me use this comparison. It's a longing that doesn't stop until filled. As love must desire its object and to be with its object and says, I must be with her, I must be with him. So also those who hunger and thirst after righteousness desire that God pronounce them in Christ righteous. It means that I'm starving to know what God has in his heart toward me. I must be assured in the gospel that my sins have been washed away through the blood of Jesus Christ. I must be assured that God, by a marvelous grace, has imputed to me the righteousness of his Son. I hunger and I thirst. I need to know the gospel that by grace alone Christ has made me righteous. Do you hunger and do you thirst in this way? Do you approach God as a starving man, as one who knows that all of your deeds are as a stinking garment in his presence, and that you cannot of yourselves obtain to eternal life? Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. God must give us this righteousness. And God creates within us the knowledge that we are unrighteous and that Christ alone can be our righteousness. He gives us faith whereby we receive this gift of God, that in Christ alone we have been made righteous. Hear the glorious promise, one of the most glorious statements in all of the Bible. They shall be filled. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God does not create a need and then not fill that need. God does not work a pain or a yearning of heart and not supply that need. But rather we read in the Psalms that the longing soul that cries to him, he fully satisfies. He fills with good each hungering one that for his mercy cries. The child of God will be given what we desire. We will not go away empty. We will not be given dust. We will not be given sand. But we will be given food and drink. We will be given Christ. That's an absolute promise. They shall be filled. God will fill us. God will supply our need. Abundantly, by grace alone, God will supply our need. Do you hunger and thirst? Do you know yourself as an undone sinner? Look to Christ. By grace, through faith, you shall be filled. There's no doubt about this. There's no question about it. Do you come today hungering and thirsting and starving? Then God will supply all your wants, every one of them. He will fill you with righteousness. How does that happen? Well, first of all, it happens immediately, thank God, at once. For the truth of justification in Christ is that by faith, I am assured that the full Christ is mine, that the perfect and spotless righteousness of Jesus Christ is accredited to me in God's sight. The barrier of my sin has been removed. The boulder of my guilt has been lifted from my shoulders. There is forgiveness with God. Psalm 130. Through faith, God's gift worked within me. We look unto Christ, and on the cross we see him dying for our sins. And we see that he dies not for his sins, but he dies in the place of all those given to him of the Father. He makes a substitutionary death, so that we might be forgiven. We read, Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. God looks on us in the righteousness of his own Son. He imputes that righteousness to us. We are forgiven. And one who has the right to his presence, and whom he will never cast out nor forsake. So how are we filled? By faith. Immediately, thank God, we receive the knowledge that Jesus Christ is our full righteousness. But we are also given the righteousness of sanctification. This is not a righteousness which makes us a child of God. This is not a righteousness which improves our standing with God. That's all in Christ. But we have the burden of sin within us, and we desire now to put away our sin and to be a holy person. And so the Holy Spirit fills us. By the power of grace, He works within us so that we know our sins, and we turn from the pollution of our sins in the way of repentance. He creates within us a hatred of sin, and more a joy of God in Christ. He gives us strength, so that we see the fiery darts of the evil one. We understand the devil's temptations, and we depend upon Christ and desire to live a life that is pleasing to Him. And still more, we shall be filled perfectly in heavenly glory. We shall one day stand in God's presence, and we will hunger no more, neither thirst. We shall not weep and cry. We shall not sigh or have sorrow. There shall be a tree of life. The Lamb of God shall lead us, and He shall feed us, and He shall lead us beside cool streams of water, and we shall stand before Him and serve Him day and night. We shall be glorified like as Jesus Christ, and our heart shall rejoice, and our souls will be full and satisfied, and our mouths will overflow in praise. There will be food there, pleasant things, good things. We will be perfect. We have not yet attained unto this, but by grace we have this sure and heavenly hope, and one day we shall be filled with perfect glory. We shall have no lack. We shall know no hunger. Already now we have been made righteous legally in Jesus Christ. Already now the Holy Spirit works within us that we repent and desire to live a righteous life. One day we shall be filled perfectly with perfect righteousness. We shall be holy then. Are you hungering and thirsting? Are you desperate? Do you know that sin separates you from God? Do you desire to be freed from the power of sin? Do you cry, Lord, help me? Lord, assure me first that my sins are forgiven. Then, Lord, go on and deliver me from the horrible bondage of this sin. Is that your cry? Listen. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. He has made us righteous with God. And He is also the grace of God worked in us, so that we begin to live a holy and a righteous life. He fills us. Here is His promise. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. May God bless His word to our hearts. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank Thee for Thy word this day. We pray that Thou wilt ever create within us that hungering and thirsting. That hungering and thirsting, first of all, that we may see our desperate need of a righteousness to stand before Thee, and that we cannot attain to this righteousness of ourselves. Give us to see that by faith, Christ alone is our righteousness. But Lord, we also hunger and thirst that we would be delivered from our sins, that we would be made more holy, that Christ would work in us more and more by the power of His cross. And so, Heavenly Father, fill us. Fill us with righteousness, the removal of our guilt. Fill us, Heavenly Father, with a righteousness, which is the power to deliver us from the dominion of our sins. Fill us, Lord, with Him, the complete Savior. In His name do we pray. Amen.
The gospel message you have just heard was sponsored by the Protestant Reformed Churches through its radio program, The Reformed Witness Hour. We hope that you have been edified and encouraged by this message. If you would like more information about the Reformed faith or the Protestant Reformed churches, feel free to visit our website at reformedwitnesshour.org or email us at mail@reformedwitnesshour.org.